Dave and Ann Wilson say one thing they were completely unprepared for when they got married was how to resolve conflict.
My dad was big on conflict in terms of resolving it. And so I grew up with two brothers and a sister, and he wouldn't let us leave the table. If something happened, he made us talk about it. And so Dave and I get married, and, you know, we've been married a few months, and we hit our first big fight. And he gets up and walks out of the room.
I mean, that's what I did. I didn't even process it. I just like, you leave. And so I'm walking out of the room. I'm walking into the kitchen and she yells.
Oh, I was shocked. I'm like, where are you going? And he just gives this look. And I said, come back here and fight me like a man, you chicken.
This is Family Life Today for Tuesday, May 12th. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You'll find us online at familylifetoday.com. So how do you handle conflict in your marriage? Do you have a strategy? Do you have a plan? Or does conflict just turn into another battle, another skirmish? We're going to talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I'm hearing again you guys share stories from your marriage, and I'm thinking, did you think about, instead of vertical marriage, calling it Dave and Ann's Big Book of Failures?
That's basically what it is.
It so is. It totally is. My dad read our book, and he called me up. He said, you guys were a mess. He also said, I feel sorry for Dave.
I do, too.
Part of the thing that has resonated so much with people as they've read the book Vertical Marriage is the transparency and the authenticity, which early on, you guys decided, we're just going to be honest about the mess. Did you flinch at that decision? I mean, did you have to think for a month or two, do we really want to be this public with this?
I don't think it was even a decision. It's just who we are. Hmm. It wasn't, oh, should we or shouldn't we? It just kind of comes out of who we are.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way we could do it. And I'll be honest, our hope in the book, in a small group, and anytime we teach on a stage, is two things would happen. One is that people would go, wow, they're like me. We struggle, they struggle. Number two would be, they have a victory in Christ that I want. Mm-hmm. So it's both and, you know, it's like want them to know that there's a real struggle in life and we're not going to hide that. We're going to be honest, but there's actually a power in mm-hmm. Jesus that's real that can really work on a day-to-day basis in your life.
You mentioned the small group, and now Vertical Marriage is a small group series, a 5-part small group video series. And there's more information about the Vertical Marriage small group series on our website at familylifetoday.com. One of the themes you tackle in the book and in the video series is the theme of resolving conflict, because conflict is common to every marriage. And we talked about this a little over a year ago, right as the book had come out. Dennis and Barbara Rainey and I interviewed the two of you on Family Life Today before you were the hosts of Family Life Today. And we talked about principles you've learned from Scripture about how to resolve conflict in marriage. You guys had two different approaches to conflict that you saw modeled for you when you were growing up. What was it like in the Wilson home when you were growing up?
Well, a lot of fights. Alcohol involved, I remember as a little boy. I mean, my parents were divorced when I was 7, so a lot of these memories were, you know, very young age. He would come home drunk and be abusive and loud. I would run away with my sister to my bedroom.
You remember the fights?
I can remember them. There was a year, 15, 18 years ago, I did a Family Life Weekend to Remember in Parsippany, New Jersey, and realized it's right near my home that I grew up in. It was in New Jersey. My dad was an airline pilot, flew out of New York, and built this home in a gated community. And long story short, I got a van and went over and found my house. I'm a grown man now, and I walked in, and I could remember fights all over that house. And I could remember the feeling of fear and almost terror running away, you know, to a bedroom just to cover my ears and not hear the sort of carnage out there. And that's what I grew up with. And that didn't go away till the divorce, which was, you know, horrible. I still wanted my dad, even though it was a very sort of dark era of my life. But then my mom and I moved to where her parents lived in Ohio, and it got real quiet. But I didn't know it then, but I knew it after Ann and I got married. I developed a perspective about conflict, which was this: it's bad, avoid it at all costs. It ends in divorce. It ends in ugly stuff. So when conflict comes in your life, you just avoid it. So, you know, I get married thinking that's going to work in marriage. Well, guess what? I didn't marry that. I married a woman who embraced conflict.
A prize fighter, right?
Yeah.
who chased you around the ring trying to pick a fight, right?
Exactly.
You don't like conflict, but you grew up learning if there's conflict, you wrestle this baby to the ground.
My dad was big on conflict in terms of resolving it or battling it or tackling it. And so I grew up with two brothers and a sister, and he wouldn't let us leave the table. If something happened, he made us talk about it. And I don't know if it was necessarily healthy in what we said, because it could get loud, it could get verbal. I don't think there was any cursing, but I didn't see it as negative. At the end of the day, he would say, "Are we all good?" And then he'd allow people to leave. And so Dave and I get married, and, you know, we've been married a few months, and we hit our first big fight. And he gets up and walks out of the room.
I mean, that's what I did. I didn't even process it. I just like, you leave. And so I'm walking out of the room, and I'm walking into the kitchen. Nobody's at home at this point. We're living with her family at the time because we're raising support to become missionaries. I'm walking into the kitchen, and she yells.
Oh, I was shocked. I'm like, "Where are you going?" And he just gives this look, and I said, "Come back here and fight me like a man, you chicken."
Oh, those words stung.
No one ever say that.
Yeah. By the way, that's the chapter title in our book. Come back here and fight like a man, you chicken. That's literally the chapter title that introduces this whole thing about conflict in the book, because I'll never forget those words. Because I turned around and she's sitting on the couch and I yell back. Okay, remember, this is 38 years ago. I yell back, "Oh, yeah, well, bleep you."
And we were very new in our faith.
Wow.
And I leave. And I didn't realize it till years later what I had done in that moment. I did exactly what I saw my dad do. Never even computed that I would have seen my dad yell and scream and curse. And there I am. I say, "Well, bleep you." And I turn to walk away because that's what I do, right? And she yells back at me, "Oh, yeah, well, bleep, bleep you."
Which I had never done. I'd never cursed, but I was so mad that he would say that
to me.
And
when she cursed back, double curse, by the way. I was bad, but she was really bad.
She one-upped you.
I just went, I did. I literally went, because I was shocked that my wife would curse me, and I'm out. And I left. I went upstairs. I'm just going to leave this situation because that's what you do, right?
Everyone's thinking, these are the new hosts.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. I was going, "I bring you this message from the post-election committee of Family Life Today. We have a question for you. Do you curse each other out today?"
Oh. 38 years ago. It's never happened since.
It really hasn't.
It never has happened since. And again, I'm not saying we're perfect, but yeah, God has done a miracle in our life. But here's the amazing thing. When I walked upstairs, guess what my wife does? She follows
you, absolutely.
And I am like, I remember when it was the bedroom she grew up in. I went in there, shut the door. She kicks open the door.
Well, a good prize fighter. You go to the corner, they come after you in the corner. They can pummel you to death over there.
Come out, like you're fighting like a chicken.
Exactly. Yeah.
I sat beside him, and I sat right beside him.
On the bed.
Our thighs are touching. I put my hand on his leg, and I look at him like, "We need to talk about this."
And I was just so frozen. I was like, "What are you doing? Get out of here." And it was, you know, I look back now, I was like, okay, I had a belief about conflict. And I was showing it right there. Conflict's bad, you avoid it. I now have a belief about conflict. It's in the book. Conflict is actually a good thing. I would say probably better stated, it's neutral. And how you handle it determines, it can be really a really good thing in your marriage. In fact, every marriage, every relationship has it. We all know how to have conflict. Very few of us know how to resolve it. That's why we wrote a whole section. It's like, let's help couples, if they go vertically with Christ, I mean, they get the vertical marriage thing, how does that help them resolve conflict? Because now I actually enjoy conflict. I don't look for it, but when it happens, I was like, oh my gosh, if we do this well, we're going to be closer by the end of this thing, not farther apart.
I think one of the most important hours in the entire weekend to remember is the session on Saturday afternoon, right before the 6 talk.
Yeah.
It's about resolving conflict. And I think the reason is because most couples do not have the basics. They right. don't have a vocabulary nor the training to know how to talk to each other and to discuss a disagreement and how we've hurt one another. I want to ask both Bob and Barbara, first my wife Barbara, do you remember your parents arguing? What was the model of arguing? I don't know that I've ever asked you that question, just listening to you two talk
which,
about
which it. Which would be a great discussion to have with your spouse.
It really would.
Tell me about what it was like growing
up. Even for pre-married couples.
Yes.
You know, sure. engaged as a part yeah. of getting ready for marriage, it'd be great
right.
to
and what,
talk about that ahead of time.
And what do you still carry into that? So
yeah. Yeah.
go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, my family didn't, there wasn't much conflict resolution. There was conflict, I'm sure. But my parents were very guarded about what they expressed in front of us kids. They didn't express a lot of emotion or a lot of affection or certainly not much anger. Now, there was a little bit toward the kids occasionally when we disobeyed or did something wrong. But as far as marital conflict, I never saw any.
Bob?
I remember isolation. I remember seeing that my parents aren't close. I remember seeing my dad come home, we'd have dinner, and then he'd go down to the basement to work, and mom would stay upstairs, and there was not connection, there was not affection. You looked at them, and you didn't see overt conflict, but you didn't see a couple where you thought, these two are so in love with one another. You know, that's not the memory that I have. Later in my teen years, I started to see some of the conflict out. In fact, I started in my teen years to get drawn into some of the conflict between my mom and dad and to try to be
a referee.
I was siding with my mom, not trying to be a referee. It was mom and me piling up on dad to try to address the issue that I saw in him. I was oblivious to the issues with her. I could just see his overt behavior. I didn't see her covert behavior that was kind of going on behind the scenes with that.
And I only remember my mom and dad having one argument.
Really?
Yeah. Voices were raised. I remember as a 5-year-old boy physically shaking for fear, thinking my parents would get a divorce. Mm. There were no bleep words. There was just anger and disagreement. I have no idea what about. And I think today, as you think about how prevalent divorce is in our culture, kids have to be scared to death. There's an African proverb that goes, when the elephants bite, it's the grass that suffers. Your kids need to see you two resolve conflict. Now, you may not resolve all of it in front of them, but they need to see healthy engagement between two people who occasionally do disagree or disappoint one another. Now, we've just got a brief amount of time here. I want you guys to walk us through just the essence of the basics of how you go about resolving conflict between two selfish, imperfect people who disappoint and hurt one another.
Yeah, think about couples who are listening or saying, okay, we've got conflict. We don't necessarily do it well. It leads to hurt feelings. We don't get things resolved. So we need some help because we want conflict to be something that builds our marriage rather than tears down our marriage. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, it's interesting. There's so much advice, and I try to make it real simple. Even the book, we just call it the 7 S's of conflict resolution, and one of them you start with, and they're not any order, but if you start here, you're starting in a good place. First one is shut up. In other words, listen. Because we are selfish, we come into conflict thinking we're right, they're wrong, and we're going to show them that, and we don't hear what they say. And so honestly, a lot of times it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to be selfless enough. And again, this is where vertical comes in. If I go to God and say, God, give me ears, help me not just to be about me. I want my eyes to be focused on her, on him. I'm going to listen. I'm going to let them talk. I'm not going to interrupt. I'm going to look at them. I'm going to put my phone away. I'm going to turn off TV, all that good listening skill stuff. I'm going to do, and I'm going to shut up. And I'm telling you what, I can say this right now, and it's a whole nother thing to do, because when she's saying what she's saying, I'm like trying to interrupt and saying you're wrong. And it's like, no, do not interrupt. Literally look at her, look at him, and say, I want to know your heart. Because here's the thing. Behind every story is a story. Behind every feeling and comment she or he's making, there's something behind it. If you listen well, you'll get to the heart of the issue, because often it's not the presenting problem. We all know that. It's something behind that. I remember, it's a long story, but a short clip of that would be Ann and I got in a fight about her parking in a parking spot at our church by the front door, which there's a rule at our church. If you are on staff or a member, you park in the worst parking spots and leave the best ones for unchurched people. She pulls into the parking spot by the front door of the church while I'm standing out there before the service. And she comes walking up like, hey, you know, God gave me this parking spot. And I literally said, God did not give you that parking spot. Move the car now. I got to go preach. Anyway, I get home and we're in an instant fight because she's violated a core value of our church. And I'm not saying every church should do this, but that was one of ours. And we start into this fight. And Cody, our youngest son, how old was he, 14?
Probably.
Is watching this fight. And he says to me, he raised his hand in the middle of the fight. It's in the kitchen. He goes, hey, Dad. Don't you and Mom travel around the country and teach couples how to resolve conflict? I go, yeah. He goes, can you show me? And you said you got to show your kids. Well, here it is. I go, you just sit there, young man. You watch. I'll show you. And I start yelling at her. And we don't yell much anymore, yeah. But it got pretty escalated because I was really upset that she violated a core principle of our church. She leaves the room. And while she goes upstairs, I'm literally thinking in my righteous anger, like, you should leave the room. You know you're wrong. And I sat there, and Cody's there, and we both sort of shook our heads like, yeah, Mom's going to go up there and figure out that she's wrong and come back down. She comes back down 10 minutes later, and tell them what you said.
Well, I wish I could say I went up there and prayed and asked Jesus to help me, but I really just kind of built up ammunition of what he had done wrong and what I had done right. And so I kind of blasted him with, I do everything around here while you're off at Kensington. And I had a big, long list, and I felt good about it. And then Dave came back.
Well, she went off. She's being very nice right now, but just walk through her life as I'm doing my thing.
The machine gun just rattled. Right, yeah.
And it was good stuff, too. And I tell you, Cody was sitting at the end of the kitchen table, and he looked at me, and it was one of those man-to-man looks. We didn't say a word, but the look was dead. You're toast. And I looked at him like, yeah, I am, you know. But anyway, when she got done, I asked one question. And here I'll set up the question this way. When she went upstairs, first of all, I'm like, you should be upstairs. But she was up there like 15 minutes, and I did a really important thing to do in conflict. And it's really hard to do. You know what it was? I prayed. While she was upstairs, I prayed. And it wasn't, God, I want to be right. I want to prove her wrong.
I didn't pray. Yeah. I didn't pray, you guys. I just want you to know.
She's up there. But I prayed a simple prayer, not out loud, just sitting there. And I just said, God, I'm missing something. I'm obviously missing something. Help me to see what I'm missing.
It's a good prayer.
She comes down, does her little deal, right? And all I said was, let me ask you something. Do you feel like Kensington, that's our church, is more important to me than you are? And she didn't even answer. She just shook her head yes. And I'm like, there it is. I had been missing that whole thing. I think it was about a parking spot. It was all about her feeling cherished and loved and priority. And I missed all that because I wasn't willing to shut up, let her speak, lean in, really try to say, there's a story behind the story. What is it? There it was. And it's like, oh, my gosh, we're back to the 10-year anniversary. It's like, again, she's second. Everything else in my life is first. And so it was one of those moments where the conflict now could be engaged in and get to resolution because now we knew what it was. It wasn't a parking spot. By the way, she's never parking there again, but it wasn't a parking spot.
That he knows of. I think the thing I love about that story, and I think this is just, if you could just do this one point in conflict of go to God first, because let's all be honest, we don't want to go to God first right. because we want to make our point. And God doesn't always want to make the same point that we want to make. And so I think that's a good one, to God first.
And I know because of the time, we're not going to walk through seven S's of conflict resolution, get the book, read them. But it's interesting as you look through, and here they are, like shut up, soft answer, which again, I didn't really realize it in the moment. I responded gently rather than escalate. When you escalate, they escalate. When somebody's escalating and you de-escalate, they can't escalate. If they do, they're just crazy. It's like, oh, Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath. I asked her gently, do you feel like Kensington's more? Boom. That led us to, okay, what's the truth? Here we call it seek truth or receive the truth. Then there's this whole big deal, and that's a whole long discussion, is seek forgiveness or grant forgiveness. These are these principles. But Ann just said, and I think it's the most important one, the seventh principle is really number one. And we just say it this way, surrender. Not to your spouse, to Jesus. You go vertical. When you surrender, again, you can't control them surrendering because every couple is probably listening right now going, yeah, well, my husband won't or my wife. Forget them. Just you surrender your heart to say, Jesus, I'm going vertical. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to leave my spouse to you. God, soften my heart. God can do a miracle and he'll get you to resolution.
Again, we've been listening back to a conversation that Dennis and Barbara Rainey and I had with Dave and Ann Wilson a little more than a year ago when the book Vertical Marriage first came out. Now, there's a video series that goes with it, a five-part series for small groups to go through the Vertical Marriage video series. There is a common theme that keeps showing up. Did you notice that? Surrender?
I did. There we are again.
But the surrender message is central to what it means to walk by faith. If we're not walking surrendered lives, to walk by the power of the Spirit means you surrender your own power, right?
Continually.
Yeah.
And it's a continual prayer. When Paul says to pray without ceasing, it's that continual prayer of going to God first, asking him for wisdom, direction, power.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest problems in marriage, in life, is selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the root. And so when you surrender, what happens is God makes us selfless. And so then it becomes more about how can I serve my spouse rather than get her or get him to do it my way. And in conflict, that is huge.
Oh, it's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard to do it.
When there is conflict and selfishness, you put those two together, yeah. Conflict's not going to get resolved. You nope. have to take self out in order for conflict to be resolved. I don't know if you're going to get into this, but of course, Thursday night, you guys are going to be leading a small group that all of our listeners are invited to be part of. On our website at familylifetoday.com, there's a link to a Facebook group. And this Facebook group is the Vertical Marriage Small Group that Dave and Ann are going to be leading Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. And it's open to anybody who wants to be a part of it. Going to go for 3 weeks. And here's what everybody does. You watch session one of the Vertical Marriage video series, which is available for you free online. And then you come to the small group, having watched the video, and you join in the conversation that Dave and Ann are going to be leading. That starts this Thursday night. It's going to go for 3 weeks. Go to familylifetoday.com and join a small group with Dave and Ann Wilson as your leaders starting this Thursday night. The information's available on our website at familylifetoday.com, along with information about Dave and Ann's book, Vertical Marriage, which is available. There's also the video series available, so if you want to use that with your small group when it starts back up later in the summer and the fall, the information is all available on our website at familylifetoday.com. But we'll see you Thursday night for the Dave and Ann Wilson Small Group on Vertical Marriage. And let me just say, this small group is just one of the ways that Family Life is working hard during this unusual season to continue to stay connected with you, to be a resource, to provide practical biblical help and hope for your marriage and your family. Many of you have been connecting with us, asking us to pray for you during this time. We're doing that. There's a lot of family tension going on. There's a lot of hardship that families are experiencing. We're praying for you, and we're working hard to provide you with resources to help strengthen the most important relationships in your life, your relationship as husband and wife, your relationship with your kids, your extended family. That's our mission at Family Life, to effectively develop godly marriages and families, one home at a time. You make all of this possible for others when you help support the ongoing work of this ministry. And I know this is a time when, for some of you, that's just not possible. For others who are able to be generous during this season, we just want to say thank you. And in fact, if you can support us with a donation today, we'd love to say a special thanks by sending you a copy of Barbara Rainey's new book, My Heart Ever His, a book about how we can pray more effectively during difficult seasons. It's our thank you gift when you make a donation today online at familylifetoday.com or when you call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. Thanks in advance for whatever you're able to do. And thank you for your ongoing, continued support of this ministry. Thanks for praying for us. We appreciate it. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about issues from the past that are still affecting our marriage, maybe 10 or 20 years into the future. We'll have that conversation tomorrow. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.